Welcome to In Season, where we explore connections between people, plants, wildlife, and land here in the Lower Columbia Pacific region. I'm Teresa Retzloff, and on this kind of windy oceanside day, I'm so excited to be speaking with Angela Whitlock. She's the Marine Program Coordinator for North Coast Land Conservancy, a land trust based in the Seaside area, but covering the whole North Oregon coast. Welcome, Angela. Nice to meet you. It's nice to connect. I want to paint a picture of where we are. We're sitting here at one of the picnic tables right by Short Sands Beach, Oswald West State Park. And we are very near the Cape Falcon Marine Reserve, aren't we? Can you talk a little bit about that and how that marine reserve, you know, came to be under the stewardship of North Coast Land Conservancy?
Yes. So our marine reserve system, we have five marine reserves in the state of Oregon. From north to south there, Cape Falcon Marine Reserve, which we're sitting at right now and looking out on.
It's so exciting. It's so beautiful. It is such a beautiful day.
it's incredible. Yeah, it's finally sunny after being rainy for so long. And then the next one to the south is the Cascade Head Biosphere, which is near the Lincoln City area. Then Otter Rock Marine Reserve, which is near Newport area. Then there's the Cape Perpetua Marine Reserve, which is situated around Yahats. It's the largest one of the marine reserves. And then all the way south, at the south coast, is the Redfish Rock. So these are areas of state waters that are protected, set aside for conservation and scientific research, and they are managed and monitored by Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife.
So what you do for North Coast Land Conservancy, how is Cape Falcon Marine Reserve somehow under the auspices of North Coast Land Conservancy?
That's a great question. That is something a land trust isn't generally associated with, having a marine program.
Yeah.
I'm really excited to be a part of this. A couple years ago in 2021, North Coast Land Conservancy acquired the Rainforest Reserve, which is just to the east of us here.
We're looking at the tall trees, and I know that what we're looking at is up in the hills, the Rainforest Reserve, and that's 2,000 plus acres? 3,500 acres, yes, of completely protected forest land. It is some of the most pristine, most unique ecosystems. I won't say pristine because it has been commercially logged, a lot of it, but it is a really amazing ecosystem. And what is so cool about this is that through the Rainforest Reserve, and then it connects to Oswald West State Park, which then connects to the Cape Falcon Marine Reserve offshore. I mean, this is like an amazing ecosystem now that is all under some kind of conservation protection. Was that part of the motivation for working with Cape Falcon Marine Reserve?
Yes, it was. So when Cape Falcon Marine Reserve was designated, I think it was in 2014, a community group grew up around the marine reserve to support it and to make it more visible to the community and to just really do some education and outreach. And that was run by the Friends of Cape Falcon Marine Reserve. It was a friends group. And then after NCLC acquired the Rainforest Reserve, it kind of made sense to look into, to have their, you know, the talks about adopting the marine reserve program, just because, like you said, the Rainforest Reserve is adjacent to Arch Cape Community Forest, which NCLC helped facilitate the acquisition of to protect the city of Arch Cape's drinking water. And that sits adjacent to Oswald West, where we are right now, and it sits adjacent to Cape Falcon Marine Reserve. So it created this 32-square-mile continuous conservation corridor. And it was a wonderful way to highlight the importance of land-sea connectivity. A lot of times, the marine environments and land environments are thought of as separate things, but as you can see where we're sitting right now, there's no borders, there's no barriers, there's no fences. Each impacts the other.
Can you talk a little bit more about those impacts? Because I think you make a really good point, and it's something that I've seen so often, that we think about landscape in very disconnected terms. You know, we think about wildlife areas, we think about commercial forest, urban areas, housing, commercial shopping districts and stuff. And they're all, they have these little borders around them, and as if they are their own little self-contained thing that does what happens there doesn't affect anything around it. Mm-hmm. And what I've seen over, you know, a lifetime of experience and certainly see here is, you know, what happens in the ocean affects the land, and what happens on the land affects the ocean, and all of these places affect one another. And mm-hmm. and you at North Coast Land Conservancy, you're trying to make like a case for this mm-hmm. and study that, those impacts. Are, is that something that you're seeing as you study this, as there is scientific research going on? What are some of the things that you're learning?
Well, what I'm learning is that even if the land being conserved isn't directly adjacent to the ocean, it still has an impact. And even if the ocean isn't directly adjacent to land way on the interior, say, of our country, it's still connected. Land conservation helps keep big trees in place, and they are big storers of carbon, and that helps reduce the carbon that is being absorbed by the ocean, which leads to ocean acidification and all sorts of issues with that. It reduces erosion and pollution going into our waterways, which all make it down here to the ocean eventually. And our ocean impacts us all over the world, wherever we are. It's I learned that it produces 50 to 70% of the oxygen that we breathe.
So, the ocean.
So every other breath we take, we can say thanks to the ocean for that. So
it's another good reason to protect it.
That's right.
So one thing that I've read about with marine reserves is that part of the idea of making this a conserved area, and by conserved, also one of the things that you're saying no to is no commercial fishing within the boundaries of that marine reserve, and the idea is to help species grow and reproduce mm-hmm. in ways where they're not being preyed upon by humans. Is there any indication that that's working? I know that there was a lot of concern when the marine reserve was first proposed that this was going to be really devastating for commercial fishing, and that has, is that proven to be the case?
That has not proven to be the case. So actually there was a human dimension study done last year by Oregon State University, and they discovered that people's opinions, businesses' opinions, the community's opinion is that marine reserves are actually a really good and really healthy thing, and they are very supported. So in this last legislative session, the marine reserve bill passed to fund the program moving forward. It passed almost unanimously, which is a really big deal, with bipartisan support.
That's huge. Yeah. I mean, and that is so great. Sometimes it takes a while for people to shift opinions and for people to think about things. Like, it seems like we're taking something away,
right,
and not always seeing the thing that's being added.
Right.
Can you mention maybe some of the species that exist in the marine reserve? What are some of the fish, the birds maybe that benefit from it? What are the things that you see?
Yeah.
There.
So, oh, we got a bird right above our heads here. There's all sorts of amazing creatures here. So there's all sorts of different species of rockfish. Why it's important to have marine reserves and conserved areas for the rockfish is because many of the different species will sexually mature at different times. And that can be when they're 20 years old, when they're 30 years old, when they're 40 years old. So allowing them to grow and get to sexual maturity and have healthy, strong bodies so that they can produce lots of offspring over their lifespan is only helpful to the environment all around us. I like to think of it as the marine reserve having a healthy, protected ecosystem. I kind of compare it to our own bodies. You know, when we are strong and everything is working properly, we can fend off stressors, you know, maybe get a little cold, but bounce back really quickly. If we're depleted, it's much harder for us to bounce back. And it's the same with the marine ecosystems. The thought is that having these healthy ecosystems is only going to make them more resilient to things that are coming down the line, like effects of climate change. So we want these resilient areas to be able to adapt to move forward rather than, you know, stressing them so much that they're gone.
So protecting them is a way of creating that zone where, at least in this spot, we're sure that there's healthy systems going on.
Yes.
And that will maybe affect Do you think that other regions that are not, that are adjacent to the Marine Reserve, you know, I know you also have helped out at the Haystack Rock Awareness Program, yes, and other things. Are people seeing effects of it in other parts of the ocean and other parts of the coastline just because that area is now protected and it's I assume, producing more, you know, more fish, more crabs, more kelp, more whatever? Is that kind of moving out into other areas adjacent to the Marine Reserve?
Yes, yeah, it is. And actually, ODFW does a whole bunch of scientific research out there. They do hook and line surveys where they catch and measure and weigh and tag the different species of rockfish. They'll do scuba surveys, and they put all their data on the Oregon Marine Reserve's website. So people can actually go and look at what they're finding.
That's really cool.
Yeah,
that's
pretty amazing. What I did hear recently was that on the most recent scuba survey at Cape Falcon was that two adult sunflower stars were found. And this is a big deal because sunflower stars were thought to be all but going extinct. There have been some juveniles found in the past couple years or so, but to find, you know, some healthy sunflower stars, which are a big important predator for urchin. And if the urchin are left unchecked, they mow down our kelp forests, which are hugely important. They're little ecosystems in and of themselves. They protect all sorts of marine creatures that live in there and nurse. They're like little nurseries, and then salmon come and use these areas to feed. And when they feed out there, then they bring their bodies up the rivers and streams to spawn and die. And all the nutrients that they have gained in the ocean feeds the land. So there's some land-sea connectivity right there.
I love the magic of that. I mean, once I remember when someone explained that to me, I think it was actually Neil Main, one of the founders of North Coastline Conservancy, and I had never thought of that concept before, but we were probably standing there next to a creek looking at a dead salmon, and he was explaining this concept to me. And my mind was just blown to think about that there are ocean nutrients feeding the trees, feeding the shrubs, feeding the animals that then also poop out those nutrients,
yes,
all throughout the forest, and that's part of the fertilization,
yeah,
system. And again, like, not separate at all,
yeah,
ocean and land interconnected and interdependent,
mm-hmm,
too. That is really exciting about the sea stars.
Yeah.
That is such great news. And I didn't know that they were predators of sea urchins.
They
I always
are.
Think of that sea otters.
Uh-huh.
Which I know have been, is it extirpated? They were basically hunted into extinction in
right.
Oregon. And I know there's talk about trying to reintroduce them.
Mm-hmm.
And you, it's like, again, you need healthy kelp forests to host sea otters. And so if there's sea stars, maybe that can start to happen. That is really exciting.
It's really exciting. Yeah.
I want it before I should take a moment here. I'm just getting ahead of myself because this is such a wonderful conversation for me. But if you are just joining us here on KMUN 91.9 FM, you're listening to In Season, and I'm your host, Teresa Retzloff. And today I am speaking with Angela Whitlock, and she is the Marine Program Coordinator for North Coast Land Conservancy. And we're sitting here at Oswald West State Park, right by the ocean. That's why you're hearing this like wind in the background. We're trying to like guard our microphones from the breeze, but there
the
is a little
waves.
Bit of, and the ocean waves. But we're talking about the Cape Falcon Marine Reserve, which is sort of under the stewardship of North Coast Land Conservancy, how it connects to the land, to the 3,000 plus acres of rainforest reserve land that North Coast Land Conservancy now stewards up in the hills above Arch Cape. And we're talking about how marine reserves can impact all the species and help enhance and provide more food for everything out there. I do want to talk a little bit about a very cool experience that you had recently that maybe some people have seen if you're on social media. Angela took the most amazing video standing in a tide pool. It was at Haystack Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about what happened.
Yeah, I was there helping HRAP, Haystack Rock Awareness Program, with a field trip. They have an amazing educational program. Lisa Habaker has been at this program for years, developing it, and a lot of school kids come out there. But I was there early in the morning trying to find some little nudibranch species, which are one of my favorite tidepool creatures, little sea slugs. And so I had my vision really narrowed, focused in, like trying to find these little things on this boulder to be able to show the school kids when they showed up. And out of the corner of my eye, I saw some movement coming towards me as I was, you know, making my way around. And I looked down and it was an octopus really close to me. And I just went, ooh! And I think the octopus did too at exactly the same moment because it turned white. And then it scooted off really quickly underneath the boulder. And I thought, oh no, that's the last I'm going to see of that. I didn't have enough of a chance to look at it properly. So I got out my phone thinking that I could get a picture of some tentacles or something. And as soon as I got my video camera working, it came right at me. It came out.
It changed color again.
It changed color. It turned back to its purple maroon color. And it got really curious about me and just kind of wrapped itself around my feet and did a little bit of dancing and displaying itself. And it had made itself really small, but when it went a little further away from me and displayed itself out on, you know, kind of a sandy bottomed tide pool area, it was a big, I don't know if it was male or female, but it was a big creature.
I mean, what an amazing experience to have an octopus wrapping its little tentacles around your rubber boot foot looking down.
These
at that.
Right here that I'm wearing.
I saw the video of that and I just thought, oh my gosh, that is amazing. And I didn't even know that octopus came that far into shore, that they would come into tide pool situations. Mm-hmm. And you were telling me earlier that you think it could be because there's an abundant source of crabs there
there's
now for them to eat.
There's an abundant source of rock crab right now. I saw a lot of rock crab out there that morning when I was out. And the Haystack Rock Awareness Program had been seeing this particular octopus over a couple week period. And they think it's because there's so much food. I mean, why would this creature move on? There's lots of yummy things to eat. And that can speak directly to their habitat being protected. It's a state protected marine garden, and Haystack Rock Awareness Program has this stewardship program out there helping people understand this environment and helping to protect it. So
is that something that you feel like, I mean, something that I struggle with is human beings seem so much more disconnected from nature in our lives now. And when people do come out into nature, sometimes they don't know how to interact with mm-hmm. it in a healthy way. There isn't an understanding of the impact that we as humans can have, the damaging impact that we can have. What are some things that you would offer as guidelines for people if they do come out to the ocean? They're coming out maybe doing the Cape Falcon hike. They're looking at the marine reserve. Maybe they're on the beach. What are some good sort of behavior techniques, good manners, when you're interacting with nature, to think about that if it's not something you're familiar with doing?
Right. So we have a tide pool ambassador program that comes out here to Short Sand Beach in the summertime, and that is a message that we directly connect with the public on. You're right, a lot of people don't understand what they're looking at. I mean, I'm an Oregonian I've been coming to this beach since I was a little baby. And I didn't know all of the amazing things that were here. When you learn, then you understand. But what I always suggest is, climbing on things.
It's hard. It's a hard one. Don't climb.
Keep your feet on the sand.
Yeah.
And look, take pictures. You don't need to take things home with you. I mean, seashells. I used to love collecting seashells when I was a kid. But now I've learned that seashells break down into vitamins and minerals so other creatures can create their own shells in the future. Or a snail shell will turn into a hermit crab's home, or a broken piece of shell will become a shield and a moisture barrier for an anemone. They will collect little bits of rocks and shells on their body to help them keep moist. Everything has its place out there, and everything, if you just slow down a little bit, and we call it putting on your tide pool eyes if you're in the tide pools, but wherever you are.
Beach eyes seem
beach
appropriate
eyes,
too.
Forest eyes.
Yeah. That's a hard one for me. I'm an inveterate beachcomber, and I love to pick up things and put them in my pockets, but I will think twice about that now because I didn't realize that all those little bits of broken shells and things were being used by so many different creatures, and that is something to think about. We don't recognize the impact that we're having and how interconnected all of those things are. Speak a little bit more about the different programs or outreach programs that you host for ways that people can learn more about the Marine Reserve, learn more about, you know, the ocean and how to interact with it.
Yeah. So I mentioned the Tidepool Ambassador Program. So we'll come out for 25 dates over the summertime, and you can usually find us here at the lowest tides on kind of, you know, busier times of the week. We try to focus on weekends. People can come out and interact with the Tidepool Ambassador Program and ask questions. Better yet, we accept volunteers. We have a core of really awesome volunteers that love coming out and interpreting, doing environmental interpretation with the public. We also have community science projects that we work on. We monitor black oyster catcher nests. I could talk to you for an hour about black oyster catchers.
What are black oyster catchers?
Black oyster catchers are my favorite bird. They are an intertidal bird. So you're not going to find them swimming in the ocean. You're not going to find them up here on the picnic benches looking for food. They live where the land and the sea meet, in that rocky intertidal area. So that's where they feed. That's where they mate. That's where they
nest.
Where they nest.
Ooh,
so
tricky.
When earlier I said, try not to climb on things, or please no climbing on things, is because those particular birds will nest really, really low and have a hard time raising chicks to become adults because they have so much disturbance, because there's a lot of people that visit the coast now, much more than when I moved down to the coast 25 years ago, something like that.
Yeah, it's so hard. It's like we love things, but then we also kind of love it to death.
Exactly, yeah.
And so just being aware of your surroundings,
yeah,
being aware of the impact that you're having. Think about where your kids and your dogs are running.
Right.
I know. Yeah. It's hard because it is so beautiful,
yeah,
and we all want to interact with it. Those are some really great ways to stay connected.
Yeah.
If people want to learn more about North Coast Land Conservancy in general, the kind of work that they do, what are some really good ways to connect and interact with the organization? Because I know that, I mean, most nonprofits need a lot of volunteers and also do a lot of outreach.
Mm-hmm.
So is it starting with the website?
Yes, the website is an excellent source to go to. We just had it revamped. It's a new website. It's beautiful. There's all sorts of information about us, what we do, what our values and our mission are, who we are as people, the staff, mm-hmm, and the board. There's an events page, so you can see all of the North Coast Land Conservancy events that are coming up, marine program and stewardship program, and all of our events.
And different ways to volunteer, depending
to volunteer
on whether you like to plant trees or pull weeds or,
yes,
educate people about tide pools. It's,
yeah,
it's really amazing, and it's so, I mean, we are very fortunate in our region to have such a robust conservation program.
Yeah.
And because the beauty of the Oregon coast is so much of what I know people who live here love so much, and what draws so many visitors to it, and finding ways to appreciate that love but also help it stay healthy.
Yes.
It's a tricky line to walk.
It's a tricky balance, that's for sure.
It is. I just am kind of blown away. I keep looking over my shoulder at the ocean and watching it crashing on the rocks, and just think about how fortunate we are.
Mm-hmm. We live in a place where people from all around the world come here to vacation because they've seen images of the Oregon coast, and it's truly a beautiful, awe-inspiring place. And we live here.
I know. It's funny. I recently, a few years ago, went on vacation up into Washington State, and, you know, we were staying at a nice place around Lake Quinault and going for a hike, and it was lovely, and there was lots of people there enjoying the landscape, but my husband remarked to me, it's like, this looks like our backyard.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was impressive and it was beautiful, but it was kind of like, yeah, but, you know,
this is my home.
I could also just go for a walk at home and see the same thing. So maybe we need to go to Hawaii next. I don't know. It's been so magical sitting here right next to Short Sands Beach here in Oswald West State Park and talking to Angela Whitlock from North Coast Land Conservancy about the Marine Reserve Program, Cape Falcon Marine Reserve. What do you enjoy about your job? I mean, what keeps you doing this?
Oh, everything. North Coast Land Conservancy is such an amazing organization. I mean, just, I believe in all of the work we're doing there. I think really connecting with people is something that I love about the job. Coming out and training people on sea star monitoring, which is another community science project that we do, or enjoying observing a black oyster catcher nest with somebody, or helping out with the Tidepool Ambassador program and showing kids, you know, a hermit crab for the first time and having them hold it in their hands. It's just helping people create relationships to nature themselves is a really huge deal for me.
I can't imagine a better thing to do with your time. I mean, that is, and look at your office, essentially.
This is my office.
I mean, I know it's not your only office, but for this to be the land that you're most deeply connected to through the Marine Reserve program.
Right.
So I just want to, you know, reiterate again for people that want to find out more, that want to maybe get engaged or volunteer, you know, how can they best reach you, reach North Coast Land Conservancy through the website, and
yes,
that's
nclctrust.org.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's funny, I'm a former employee, so I know that website off by. So nclctrust.org, and that there's a great amount of information there, and it's a really good starting off point. You could also follow NCLC on social media. Look for that amazing video of Angela communing with an octopus in the tide pools at Haystack Rock. It is mind-blowing. It's so beautiful. And I just come out and be in nature and appreciate it.
Absolutely.
It's, we live in such a special place, as you said. And I know I don't get out here nearly often enough. So I certainly hope that all the people listening can you know, be inspired to connect more.
And that is the hope, yes.
So thanks to everybody who's joined us listening today to In Season. I've been speaking with Angela Whitlock about the Cape Falcon Marine Reserve and the Marine Stewardship Program at North Coast Land Conservancy has as part of its larger coastal conservation program. It's been a great conversation, very inspiring. I definitely want to get out to some tide pools this summer.
Oh, please come. We're having some together nature hikes, leading some tide pool tours.
I will take my shoes off and roll up my jeans and get out there. I can't wait. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. And thank you, Angela, so much. This has been so great and not too windy.
Yeah.
It's been okay.
Thank you. It's been a really fun conversation for me.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.